Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Bigs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And like all our guests, he's brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Bigsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I mean, that was their worst loss of the year, and it was a real disappointment given what all the chaos and all the kind of strange stuff that had gone on, and you thought maybe it could be a moment to galvanize the team. Maybe it could be a moment to kind of bring everyone together, and boy, that didn't happen even remotely.
Yeah, there's no Monday morning quarterbacking the a play call and how they handled the situation. They got throttled. They were run over.
Yes.
They were manhandled. They were beat from really start to finish. And it's got to be disconcerting on every level in the building this morning.
Brad, breaking news here on The Score is presented by BetQL Smarter Bets. Start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. The Saints have fired Dennis Allen. So when you look at that from through the Chicago prism, obviously you know how it works, Brad. You're dealing with these comments and questions as well. How close are the Bears to making a decision or having a conversation about firing their own coach in season?
Yeah, I don't know. As you know, Dave, that's the Bears in their history have not made an in-season change with the head coach. I sincerely doubt that such a move would create a lot of difference at this point. Although I wrote this morning, guys, I think they've got to look long and hard at what they're doing with Shane Waldron and consider a new play caller on offense, because that thing is broken. That was a pedestrian defense that the Bears went against yesterday with one difference maker. And a guy that's at the third level in safety, Buda Baker, defense that's really struggled to rush the passer this season, a defense that was missing its top cornerback yesterday and Sean Murphy Bunting, the three guys they rolled out there. Garrett Williams was a third-round pick a year ago. Cottrell Clark was a sixth-round pick a year ago. And Starling Thomas entered the league, I believe, a year ago or 2 years ago as an undrafted player. So the Bears have got all this skill position talent. We've talked about it since March, April. What's this going to look like with the young quarterback? And they can't consistently get the ball to DJ Moore. They've dressed up Cole Kmet for Halloween as a ghost. He's got one target in the last two games. Roma Dunze makes one big play on blown coverage. They're not running the ball consistently. They didn't have an identity with Shane Waldron at the beginning of the season. I don't think he has a real presence in front of the players. I wouldn't be surprised if they considered something there, because continuing down this path on offense with him leads me to believe they're headed nowhere good.
Yeah, and Shane, and Luke Getsy got fired last night too, Brad. You know?
Yeah, you know, and I don't say things like this lightly. Like,
yeah.
I'm not into the knee-jerk reaction, can the coach in the season, because I don't think most of the time there are clear solutions to improvement, and that's a great way to wave the flag that says, hey, you know, look at the dysfunction we've got going on here. What they've got to do is get solution-oriented here. They're 4-4. They should have a better record right now. What can be done? But in Eberflus's case, like, they can't win on the road, which is alarming, because half your games are on the road, and they're in a hole now in what is the most competitive division of football. And I don't know that when the season began, there was going to be a playoffs or bust sort of mandate for Matt Eberflus that seemed a little lofty to me when you consider that they are playing with a rookie quarterback. But what you want to see is growth and development, and their good football this year has largely come against bad opponents. They've played pretty good defense against some decent offenses on occasion, but that was not good defense yesterday. And how many times have the Arizona Cardinals just blown an opponent out when Kyler Murray hasn't performed like Superman, right? He completed 13 passes yesterday, and he ran for a grand total of 6 yards. The Cardinals just ran the ball down the Bears' throat.
Yeah, and, you know, we were watching the game and talking about it. Had they decided not to pass at various times when they were just running the ball, that I think they'd have scored more touchdowns. Honest to God, I think there were the old Dave wants that don't get bored. It's like they got bored of running the football, and then they started throwing when they got closer to the goal line. Why? I mean, if they ran the ball, maybe the game had been over quicker, and certainly maybe you get the quarterback out of there.
Yeah, like, they were at one point, I was looking at the numbers and saying, oh my goodness, you know, Arizona could go for like 250 here, maybe 260 or a little bit more on the ground. And the game flow sort of prevented that from happening. And then they were in situations where I think the Bears knew the run was coming, but it was troubling. And now Andrew Billings, the nose tackle, has a pectoral issue. Oh, and as boy. We talked about last week with Bill Murray, it's really rare when you hear a guy has a pec injury and it turns out to be something that's very short term and minor. So, I mean, you're wishing the best for Billings there, but don't hold your breath.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Brad, what did you make of the explanation by Matt Eberflus for why Caleb Williams was still in the game in the final minute after he got hit twice in a row and caused him to limp off the field?
Yeah, I mean, they had the starters out there. If there was still another 2 minutes on the clock, I think the guy probably comes out. But I don't think he's seriously injured. They've got way bigger issues to fry right now than the quarterback being on the field with 2 minutes to play and them down 20. That's not completely out of the norm as you watch professional football on Sundays to see a starting quarterback in there to the end. So I don't I'm not going to obsess too much over that.
They were fresh out of offensive tackles.
Bad
look, Brad. It was a bad look. It was a bad look.
Yeah, but there's things.
There are worse looks.
Plenty more worse looks in that game for them in terms of just not being able to get anything done offensively. And they got off to a decent start that opening drive. Like, they're moving the ball a little bit. They overcome that offensive pass interference penalty on Keenan Allen. They cross midfield. They get across the 40. And then it's, you know, like, what was it, an illegal formation or motion penalty. Then they take a sack and they don't even get a field goal out of it. And it's so deflating because they've done nothing but consistently start so slowly. And now they've got the Philadelphia Eagles 32nd in the league in first quarter scoring on their heels after the Eagles actually put one in the end zone yesterday to get their first points of the season in the first quarter.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. I guess, Brad, when, you know, I mean, of all the goofy things I've heard, the idea that they purposely weren't throwing the ball to Cole Kmet as a punishment because he criticized them earlier in the week, that's an insane thought. And frankly,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, we got a call about it. We've had a couple texts about it. Like, really? I mean, you're being slowly surrounded, sir. Why don't you call for some help?
He had like 63 snaps or something. Like, oh my goodness. I mean, something. Meanwhile, it's election season, guys.
You sound exasperated, all kinds of nutty
stuff out there.
I thought we'd let you sleep until 9 so you didn't sound so exasperated, but now you sound exasperated.
Well, I don't even know how you handle stuff like that. I mean, that's not even from left field. Goodness.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what you're suggesting, though.
Get the fluoride out of the water.
Let's go back to tangible things, because I think when you are suggesting that the Bears need to make a change in terms of a play caller, I think it's worth exploring in specific detail. Who do you think is the better option between Kerry Joseph and Thomas Brown? What do you think the ramifications of such a move would be? And what do you do with Shane Waldron if you demote him? Is he fired or is he just demoted?
Yeah, I mean, those are a lot of good questions. Thomas Brown's the guy that's done it before. He did it for a portion of the season last year in Carolina that didn't go well. Little that the Panthers have done with Bryce Young has gone well. So those are your two options. You know, I was talking to a coordinator for another team last night, and he's like, you know, an issue you've got here is all these guys are kind of intertwined, right? Kerry Joseph came with Waldron from Seattle. Thomas Brown worked with Waldron previously with the LA Rams. I don't know that there's a great choice here, but I think they need to consider trying something different because, again, I don't know that Waldron can stand in front of the room, the offense, and capture their imagination, like get buy-in from them. This is not working, and the Bears have got the talented rookie quarterback with way more skill position talent than any of these other rookie quarterbacks are throwing to, and you've seen glimpses of good, again, against bad opponents, and the last 2 weeks have been dreadful. So what would you do with Waldron? I don't know. I mean, you could demote him, or you could drop off some cardboard boxes at his office. It's one or the other. But if Eberflus is under extreme pressure, and I'd imagine that he is, I think it's something that he's got to consider between now and probably sometime tomorrow when you're really starting to grind away on a game plan for the New England Patriots.
Would there be any option if you decided that you had enough of Matt Eberflus? That's one of the issues that we got. We did the post-game show, Brad. I'm telling you, we got like 15 calls calling for his head, almost one after the other. And I was just like,
yeah.
Who would you hire? Who's taking over? Well, there doesn't seem to be anyone sitting
right
there.
I mean, you know, because if he goes, you've either got to have Eric Washington run the defense or Dave Borghanzi or John Hoke. So I suppose you could give it to one of those guys. You could give it to Thomas Brown. But again, who's calling the offense? You're going to keep Waldron there? I just don't know that it leads you down a path toward improvement with 9 games. They've got 9 games to go.
Yeah.
They're 500, right? I mean, you're not flushing the season here in the first week of November. You shouldn't be. Like, you've got meaningful games ahead for Caleb Williams, for Roma Dunze, for all those guys. These are meaningful football games. They have played well defensively for much of the season. Like, last week was great defensively until the final play of the ball game. So they're at a crisis point. There's no question about it. And we'll see in the next 48 hours anyway, what type of response, if any, they have, or if they're going to continue to plot the same course. I don't know that I've ever said in season, like, boy, they got to look at something here. It's been quite a while, but this strikes me as a time when it's warranted to consider for sure.
So, Brad, the Bears next play the Patriots, who were called soft by their own coach. Yet yesterday, the defense was probably, they were marshmallows of the midway. They were soft, too. They weren't tackling. Why weren't the Bears tackling better yesterday? Was it all because Montez Sweat wasn't there? But you can use that as a reason why certain things happened or didn't happen, but it just seemed like this was a group that collectively was not as aggressive, was a little bit more soft than we're used to seeing from this Bears defense.
Yeah, I'm sure there are plenty of missed tackles when you go back and rewatch it, and some opportunities to that 6, 7, 8 yard runs should have been 2 or 3. But I just think the holes up front, I think they got moved, you know, like and that's not brand new. Like, we've been pointing to that this season and saying, hey, this run defense might leave a little bit to be desired. And they got better against Jacksonville, and they acted like things had been shored up. But that was a runaway game that Jacksonville was trying to throw to get back in that thing. And so what we saw yesterday was poor run defense, which has been much of the season, or concerning run defense, at least earlier in the season. Slow start offensively, inability to get the playmakers the ball, and then just timely penalties that have been killers. It's not like these guys are racking up a ton of flags. It's not like this is a super undisciplined team when you look at penalty statistics. I think they had 6 penalties for 33 yards yesterday, but 2 of them led to 6 points directly. The leverage penalty on Jervon Dexter, and then a chop block in the end zone on DeAndre Swift. Now, the game's out of hand at that point when Swift gets called for that and Cardinals get a safety, but 2 of the 6 penalties put points on the board for Arizona. Those are themes that we've seen throughout the first 8 games of the season.
Brad, do you anticipate any moves at the trade deadline?
Well, could you be a seller now with Herbert? Like, you're holding on to him thinking he's got value for you, unless you get something that is probably more than anyone would pay for him. Does anyone want to come get him? I don't think they're a buyer. Like, I think you want to keep that premium draft capital. You want to prepare for what will be a critical offseason of rebuilding that offensive line. And I think it's going to be through a variety of ways, but certainly that premium draft capital is going to be involved. And they're going to need some defensive line help as well. So I don't see them doing anything that really moves the needle by 3 o'clock tomorrow, but who knows?
Thank you, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
Hey, this Sunday, join the Score and Circa Sports Illinois at Flagship on the Fox. It's in St. Charles. You'll have Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley and Mully, who will host the pregame show there from 9 to noon, and then they'll have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on New England. That's this Sunday at Flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. I assume Dustin now is part of it.
I think that's got to be a package deal. You and Dustin on Sundays, along with Pat and
Owen. We're connected at the hip.
I think that's a great thing to look forward to every Sunday.
The public was seeking him yesterday. It was very
That's what I heard. He needs security? Yeah. Was it security called?
No, Olin tried to help him a little bit, but that was it.
Hey, when we get back, I want to vent about one of the calls that went against the Bears yesterday.
Okay, good. It's Mully and Hawn.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Flag down. Multiple flags. Kick sailed through. Flag at the 10, another one at the 13. Could we get a leverage call?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, leverage. Number 99, defense. That penalty will be enforced after distance to the goal. Watch automatic. You. First down.
So the reason they call it is he's got his arm on the back of this guy, a guy blocking, and then tries to elevate. It doesn't seem like much. It's more of a letter of the law call than it is anything else. But his arm's on the back, and he goes up in the air. You're utilizing the player to elevate yourself. That's a leverage call, and now it's first down.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's the one you had the biggest problem with?
That was ridiculous. Yeah. Okay, so that was ridiculous. When we start to talk about when the game got away from the Bears, you could start there. 3 minutes, 40 seconds left to go in the first half. Fourth and 14, they kick a field goal. It's 10-6. You feel pretty good. You get the ball back with a chance to go touchdown up at halftime. I don't know if it started to unravel there, if it would have made any difference. But first of all, that's where you get the ball back. 15-yard penalty. They get an automatic first down. Yeah, they score three plays later from the seven.
Yeah.
It's 14-6 instead of 10-6. Okay, so that's the ramification from the scoreboard perspective. From a football, just purist perspective, there was no way you could argue that Dexter got an advantage from the way that was described.
They made the field goal. He didn't touch the ball. It was such a ticky-tack.
It was ticky-tack. That's a great way to describe it.
And then it became a touchdown. So it like puts you in a hole because you got this bad penalty called. And it was weird. Then, of course, you know, they give up the ball. They come down the field. You give them the ball with 20 seconds left.
You
they
scored
go 70 yards.
A field goal. And then you give them the ball back. And, yeah, then the game got away from you. And it was 20-6 at halftime. And it was 21-6 at halftime. And essentially it was over.
Yeah.
I go back to leverage seems to be enforced at a higher rate this season. A defensive player jumping or standing on a teammate or an opponent to block or attempt to block an opponent's kick. Minkah Fitzpatrick did this a couple weeks ago against the Jets, and he just basically hurdled this guy. He touched him. J.J. Watt, I think, or T.J. Watt it was, and they called a penalty because he blocked the kick.
Yeah.
If this is the way they're going to enforce it, just make field goals unrushed. You know, make like kickoffs. Let them give a chance just to kick a field goal because this is really arbitrary. It seems over the top. And yesterday, that was a flag that you could have kept in your pocket. And I think it changed. It affected the game. It definitely affected the game.
And yeah, I didn't like a lot of the calls there. I there were a couple of penalties that I thought were a little harsh. You know, even the penalty on the safety. I don't know. I just thought, really? Like, you're going to give him a safety, too?
Flusie thought that was the right call. I think it's the second time this year, I think, that Swift has been called for going low.
Yeah.
You don't want to go low. When they go low, you go high.
Take the high road.
Right. Take the high road. Always. Oh, it's less traffic.
You take the low road, I'll take the high road.
And definitely.
I'll get to
good things to remember the day before election day.
We got so many people checking in about Dennis Allen has fired. Robert Saleh was fired. This ain't hard. Should be Eberflus. Let me tell you something. The Bears are 4-4. The Saints are 2-7.
The Jets were a train wreck.
The Jets were an absolute. Yeah. They'd lost like what, 4 or 5 in a row.
Right.
I mean, come on now. Like, so, let's just maintain a tiny semblance of perspective.
Yes, I think if you want to look at it big picture, as bad as things are, what's happening now is there's mounting evidence against Matt Eberflus in the case to fire him.
Right.
What happened in New Orleans and New York was, you know, that closing arguments and
yes.
the jury ruled because they had enough evidence. Right now, it's a big difference.
If the Bears lose to the Patriots at home, mm-hmm. then you can have a good argument. Then you can convince me that something needs to change dramatically.
If this stair step going down, the spiral, if you will, yeah, takes a third, if it goes to a third tier next week, because
yes.
last week was bad, yesterday
yes.
was worse, and if it gets even worse and lower than that on Sunday, then yeah, we'll have an argument on Monday about that.
And I got to tell you, like, if you look at what the New England Patriots are doing, they right now hold the number one pick in the draft next year because their record is worse than anyone's because their opponents are worse than any mm-hmm. of the opponents. So when you play the easiest schedule and you are a complete train wreck, guess what? You end up with the number one pick.
Yes.
Which is bad news for the Bears because they have Carolina's second round pick.
And right now
it would be the third pick.
Carolina surprised people yesterday with Bryce Young doing good things.
Yeah.
He won a game. I mean, they won a game that he started.
How did that happen? That's hard to believe.
Are you thinking conspiracy?
Clearly.
You said that very cryptically.
Yeah, clearly the NFL has no problem with the Bears refusing to throw to their tight end. Why do they allow the Carolina Panthers to win a game?
I don't know. I'll have to look into that. That'll be tomorrow's show. I think in terms of the Bears in relation to Dennis Allen, Robert Saleh, it's one of those things that when Brad Biggs is on, it happened, we asked him because of the relevance, and you know how people think around here. But I don't think it's something that the Bears, it'll have any impact on the way their ownership is looking at this or even the way that their general manager is looking at this.
Yeah, I think they're 4-4. And I think that, you know, we know things are going to get a lot more difficult. They got one easy game left. That would be at home against New England. You better get healthy because division portion of the schedule will kick in. And you know, by the way, they also play the not just the 6 games in the division, but also they've got the San Francisco Giants, who may get players back. They may improve and get players back.
49ers. I think you
what
have.
Did I say? Oh, the San Francisco.
You got the Giants? Buster Posey on your mind.
Oh, my God.
one more thing before I get to a call. This isn't conspiracy related, but it will sound like it's a little bit leading.
Here we go.
No. I want to know your honest opinion. We talk about Shane Waldron being demoted. Brad talked about Brad Biggs does not go on an island and throw things out there recklessly. So you wonder if this is something the Bears are considering when he talks about somebody else calling plays. What role will the fact that Shane Waldron shares an agent with Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, Trace Armstrong?
I would hope it wouldn't.
A fair question or is that a bad question?
No, it's a fair question. I would hope it would carry no weight because if you decide to do that, it's because what's happened thus far is unacceptable. And frankly, what's happened thus far is all about quarterback development. And if you feel like the quarterback is not developing in the proper fashion, then you're going to have to make a change. This is not about Shane Waldron or who gets a piece of his deal or anything like that. It's about Caleb Williams. Are enough things happening for him that you feel comfortable with his development? Caleb seems to have stalled the last couple of weeks. You know, maybe you could have gotten away with him doing the special if that had happened at the end of the game last week. But unfortunately, you robbed him of that moment and his homecoming because you then went down and had the Fail Mary. But the reality is that it's all about the development of the quarterback. And if we're not seeing that, then the coordinator, regardless of who is his agent, has to go.
I think that's the right answer. I think that's the way they will ultimately view it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something that will be as simple, or it'll be complicated probably because of that reality.
Right.
When you have the same representation, just as it, I think, all right, I agree with you. I will revisit this. We'll talk about this if it starts to look like there's a decision to be made at the end of the season about the head coach. And then it will become even more complicated and maybe even more important for them to put aside those kinds of things that don't get always put aside in the NFL. We know this.
They already gave the head coach the extra year, okay? This is his win now moment. They brought him back despite having to fire a couple of coaches, despite opening the season 0-4, despite the fact that they can't beat the Green Bay Packers.
Do you think the agent influenced that?
I don't know. But I think that they felt like that he had done enough with his defensive work that he was going to keep his job. I don't think that's the case right now.
Now he's just done enough.
Well, he's...
done enough?
You know, the problem is, as expectations rise,
right,
so do the things expected from a guy. So as they have improved, as they've changed quarterbacks, have they done all these things, then you're going to have to start showing it a little bit more than we've seen thus far.
Boy.
And frankly, I think the last 2 weeks have been a train wreck.
August was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It was nice to win some games. Nice to see the Bears have some hope. It was nice. The 3-game winning streak was really fun.
That was pretty cool.
But they didn't play anyone.
You know, and in London, you know, when they win in London, you think that they have, you know, turned the corner with a break in the schedule and an opportunity. But the two games that they have lost were games that they should have won.
I it bothers me that the broadcaster said that they ran the 0-18 now record on the road by Flusie, and his response, he's 0-18 on Sundays, he's 3-18 on the road, and his response was, well, we won the game in London. You know, if he said that, I would just, dude, that's not a away game. You were the home team, but secondly, that's a neutral crowd. That is not you winning a game in a hostile environment. There were more Bear fans there than any other type, and it's an absurdity to think that that counts.
Well, what's the biggest challenge for a team when they go on the road? Is it the crowd noise, or is it the change in routine from your schedule?
Well, I think that the crowd noise was a factor maybe in Washington. It's been a factor in different places. I think there were a lot of Bear fans in Arizona.
Sounded like it.
And I don't think that is the problem you had. I think that, you know, let's be honest, the injuries, the offense, you know, the defense not being able to stop anyone, that is a major problem. When you're on the road and they're able to operate as efficiently as they were able to operate and run the ball whenever they wanted, the only reason the game wasn't closer is because the offensive coordinator for Arizona decided he wanted to throw. If they just ran the ball the whole bloody game, that would have really left a mark.
Yeah, it left a deep enough mark as it was because you were out-physicaled and dominated at the line of scrimmage in a way that you hadn't been all season.
Yeah, you're right. It was the worst loss of the year. All right, we got Marshall and Dan. They're going to join us next. We'll get a chance to talk to them a little bit. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.